Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is one of your hosts, Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, and I'm here with my buddies. Hi, guys.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton.
And I'm the third musketeer, Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. Glad to be with you again. And as you guys know, if you've listened to these podcasts before, and I think you have, we've been getting a lot of good reports back on that. Long story short, Cher and I are the co-founders of a global ministry called the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening.
.com.
That's right.
And you can find us at yourspiritualpractice.com as well. They're linked together.
That's right. And so I was trying to think of, so we're kind of like a metaphysician trinity.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, right?
Spiritual thought leaders.
There we go. I'll claim that. So I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find the Absolute Word, published since 2014. So there's a lot there you can go and look and play with. And of course, my calendar, where I'm appearing around the world. And then, of course, we always have to remember, it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And it's another beautiful day in my consciousness as well.
That's right.
And we always wonder what's going to come out of Bill's mouth.
I know. So as a trinity, Bill's the edgy one. Cher's the practical one. And who knows what I am. All right. We're going to be continuing with our pattern. The first segment, we're looking at spiritual law. And the law uses principles, and they're immutable. So today we're looking at the law of health. And one of the things we're exploring is whether the thing they're talking about is a law or a principle, because sometimes Myrtle and Charles use those words interchangeably. And then we're going to pivot at about the 15-minute mark, and we're exploring Bill's book, Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited. And we're continuing with something we started last week, but we're going to start from the beginning, undiscovered consciousness. And we end with the Absolute Word from January 27th, seize the moment. All right, I am ready to romp.
Let's seize the moment right now.
And of course, we're loving that Cher has taken responsibility for reading. This might take a couple weeks to get through. Let's see how we do today.
Now, this is a topic that we run into people having an extreme interest in as we do our training and work in churches around the country and with people, our coaching. I'm sure you do too, Paul. The concept is health. And people are always looking at health, trying to define it. How do I get it? Is healing? Does healing work? Lots of questions around it.
So when we talk about the ego or health or prosperity, illness, lack, people don't realize they actually subconsciously give those three things, lack, illness, and ego, a different origin than the divine.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, and they subtly stay in that duality that we say there's only one power and one presence, but they're giving power to something else if they think their ego or their sickness or their lack has a different origin.
And they don't realize how much power they're giving it.
And they don't realize the power they're giving it is divine power.
Right. And it's working. The principle's working.
It's working.
Because of where they're putting the power and energy.
Absolutely.
So this will be interesting to use it as a whole topic here.
Okay.
So we're going to start. Yeah. Charles Fillmore, Jesus Christ Heals. This book on, which is a good one, what we're talking about health. So here's what Papa Charlie says. So long as we believe in the slow processes of what we call nature, we shall place ourselves under a law of slowness. But if we know the spiritual law of health and the power of the word, we shall bring into operation in our lives an entirely different law. Where is the limit to the power of thought? All people who have studied metaphysics and understand somewhat the action of the mind recognize that there is one underlying law, and that through this law, all things come into expression. Also, that there is one universal mind, the source and sole origin of all real intelligence. First is mind, then mind expresses itself in ideas, then the ideas make themselves manifest. So that's mind, idea, expression. This is the metaphysical statement of the divine Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity mind, the expression of mind, and the manifestations of mind are found in simple numbers and complex combinations everywhere.
Wow. Well. He doesn't really define the law of health, one of those situations, right? But he obviously believes it comes under the power of thought and the power of the word, which everything does.
Mm-hmm. And he's taking a much broader definition of health than people might think.
Absolutely. The couple most interesting things in this second paragraph is Charles talks about there being only one underlying law.
Yes.
And that's mind, idea, expression, which we know that he named the law of divine order back in the 12 Powers book. It's just fascinating. And then we've been talking about how the law of mind action, which is the one you hear the most about in the Unity Movement, is really nothing more than an example of mind, idea, expression.
Yeah, of course, one of the things we talk about too is that we divinely order our experience. And what's really neat about that is our mental faculties and our emotional faculties and our physical faculties are all different aspects of the same faculty, if you will.
Yes.
In the faculty we're talking about, it's a mind action. And a lot of people don't realize that our body, coupled with its mental powers and emotional wattage, actually is its own pharmacy, when you think about it.
Oh, absolutely. When we know that the physiologists are telling us how that thinking, feeling nature produces some sort of pharmaceutical, we'll call it, in our bodies, and that affects our bodies. And it's a kind of a two-way street. Our bodies can influence the mind and emotions to manifest.
Yeah. And vice versa.
Yeah. So it really is, we're a unit.
Yes, we are. In fact, yesterday at our spiritual cafe, which is a group where we have spiritual discussions about different topics, one person shared an experience. She had been through a recent health trauma, if you will. She went through a really serious issue. And she talked about how she felt like a piece of her spiritual practice, ability to practice, was gone, like she'd lost it in the process. And we talked about the term spiritual therapy, like just like your body needs therapy when it goes through a traumatic experience. When we go through that, we also need, sometimes we need that spiritual therapy to remind, that's the power of having that help around you, that support that can help you recover. It's never lost, but it's you lose your awareness of it to recover it and practice it again.
And we won't get into it here, but we reminded her lovingly, we are not prisoners of our genes. Epigeneticists tell us this. Geneticists tell us this. And we invited her to reconsider the fact that mentally and emotionally, she can, in fact, help to upregulate her genes toward health and downregulate illness out of the affected body areas. We had her and her significant other staying in the middle of the circle. We sent them off yesterday with affirmations of love and nurturing and health and that kind of thing. It was a powerful experience for her.
It was powerful. I think. Yeah, it just kind of came up in the discussion, but it turned into just a beautiful discussion of the impact our health has on our spiritual practice.
So when you think about it, the greatest wealth, W-E-A-L-T-H, is wealth, W-E-L-L-T-H.
Hmm.
Same, but they're different.
Yeah.
And so I think this is why I'm tending to prefer the word well-being.
Health,
because well-being includes all three of those.
True. Mm-hmm.
So those meaning our thinking, our feeling, our sensations, all of that, our body, etc. And all of those are dependent on our divine identity, our divine nature. And when one of those breaks down, there can be a tendency to forget that.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. And you know, part of the well-being, is to watch what you eat and drink so that you don't live beyond your seams.
Yes. S-E-A-M-S. Yes. Wow, can you imagine how uncomfortable it would be if our body didn't expand as we ate?
True.
Oh, really? Yes. Ooh. We'd have a lot of popping people.
There we go. And last thing that I want to mention is at the end of this where it says, the expression of mind and the manifestations of mind are found in simple numbers and complex combinations everywhere. And that triggered a memory of Infinite Potential by Lothar Schaefer in the idea that everything reduces to numbers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Charles, I think here is pulling on some of his reading around quantum physics. And
for sure, he was well-read quantum physically. Of course, back then, I guess, would be classical physics, but it was in the process of becoming quantum physics too. So he had access to all that good information.
Well, what I would say about that, Bill, is that I see that a little differently. The physicists were becoming quantum physicists, but quantum was discovered in the early 1900s, I think it was. And so there were people writing about this during Charles's lifetime, and he had access to the concepts of quantum physics.
Yep.
He definitely was on the cutting edge of science. His awareness was way ahead of his time.
Well, his book, Atom Smashing Power of Mind.
Wow. You could see it there.
And he does reference in some of his talks, physicists of the time that were writing about quantum physics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Very cool. Okay, let's see if we can do one more. Are we at the break?
We're getting very close. And I know I want to be sure and remind our listeners about your radio show. So I want to
let's pivot now. That'll be good. Go ahead.
Okay. So, let me be the one to say that Paul is being a fantastic guest on Voices of Unity at Ellen Davenport's show. So we just encourage everybody to listen in.
So go to unityonlineradio.org, navigate to Voices of Unity, and there's four of my appearances there. And yeah. I think you'll find them really good.
They're very good. Sure. They're very interesting and they deep dive. You'll love them. So we want to be sure everybody listens. And we also want to give a shout out about our retreat, because the three of us, if you like listening to us on the podcast, you can participate in our retreat live with us March 29th, 30th, 31st of 2019. And you can go to yourspiritualpractice.com, and there's on the homepage, there's a big square that says Universal Harmony Retreat. Just click on that and that'll give you all the information. I think Paul has one on his, his site also.
Yeah, there's a link on my site on the first page, paulhasselbeck.com.
We are going to have such fun deep diving and talking and just exploring for a whole weekend of people with this level of discussion. So come join us at the kitchen table live.
Yeah, we're going to have fun. So are you ready to pivot to Reverend Bill, unplugged, unedited, and as edgy as ever?
Yes, as edgy as ever, yes. And we were in the midst of undiscovered consciousness last time, and so we thought we'd dive into that even deeper today. And that's on page 191 for those who are reading with us, and you can get this wonderful book on Amazon, or you can get it from us, which we really prefer. Just go to our website.
Absolutely.
And actually, on our podcast website, there's a resource page, and we have a link there as well.
Wonderful.
So we're all over the place. So, Paul, you were thinking we might read the entire thing one more time.
Yeah, and I won't interrupt you, and Bill won't either, I hope. And then we'll chunk it down some.
Okay, so read the whole entire section. It's called Undiscovered Consciousness. And remember, this is my voice you're hearing, but this was written by Bill, Reverend Bill, over here. Okay, once the undiscovered consciousness level of higher spiritual awareness is reached, local and non-local, universal and galactical connections become the same thing as far as function. There's no labeling, no sense of separation, no apartness. There's stillness because there is only universal beingness. Wholeness just is. Oneness is the only form of expression. You will discover that omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience, and omniactivity just are. Undiscovered consciousness operates at speeds that we might describe as speeds a gazillion times faster than those generated by Lilliputian or teeny, teeny, tiny consciousness. Those, I added those teeny, teeny, tiny through quantum ether. Quantum ether. Since superluminal or super non-local interactions exist, they are non-local in the sense of non-physical, instantaneous connectedness, which is itself a misnomer because there would be nothing to be connected, since that implies a differentiation that doesn't exist. Quantum information is received before it is sent, which is also a misnomer because everything at this level of being just is all at once. Essentially, this level of pure universal beingness is absolute, unbounded, meta-oneness, om.
Yes, so if I were to summarize this, I would say this is a really good exposition of oneness and what oneness is.
Yeah, thank you. That's where I was headed.
Yeah, so it does that really well. That whole thing in the first, there's two paragraphs here for our listeners' reference. This whole thing is wonderful, but where Bill says there's no labeling, no sense of separation, no apartness, is that oneness concept.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then, that's hard for people to wrap their head around because don't experience it really very often.
It's difficult for us because we live in a three-dimensional world, a three-dimensional body that is flooded by senses, by what our senses are telling us. And what we perceive is separation. And getting the concept that I cannot possibly know what Cher is experiencing at this moment, and she can't possibly know what I'm experiencing at this moment. We might get clues. So another way I was reading about this recently, and many of you may remember that I was a dentist. So when someone would come to me with pain, I could never experience their pain. And I'm grateful, right? they can report an experience of pain. Okay, we all know what pain is because we've experienced it individually. But even so, Bill's experience of pain and Cher's experience and mine are all different. And that became clear as I was practicing dentistry. And It's an interesting thing, and it goes back to we are all the king or queen or emperor or empress of our own consciousness, right?
True.
You know what that makes me think of, this just hit a link in my head, is I do a lot of coaching with people speaking. I do speaking coaching, and I work with people who have this absolute intense terror of getting in front of people to speak.
Yeah.
And I really had trouble relating to them because I've never had that ever. I grew up as a daughter of a Methodist minister and I just grew up speaking in front of people. So I could understand what they were saying, but it didn't connect. And then Bill took me on a high events course where we did many things, one of which was the zip line, which was 90 feet up in the air and then you just jump off. And I experienced such terror standing on that platform. I could not jump. I was there for 20 minutes before I finally jumped.
Wow. And
my team was saying, finally, instead of supporting me, they were saying, push her. Yeah, we want to go home sometime tonight.
First off, she was well belayed.
Yes, definitely. Safe, I was totally safe. And I knew that mentally, but I didn't understand it. I could tell myself, and it made logical sense, but I had that emotional fear. And there's a whole story around that, but what I relate it to here is once I had that feeling, it was like a click in my head. Now I know what they're feeling in front of people, that logically it doesn't make any sense at all, but emotionally I understood the terror and I became a much better coach, as I'm sure you became a much better dentist, as we began to understand and appreciate what the person is feeling.
Absolutely. And we're still not saying we know exactly what they're feeling or experiencing.
No. We understand the emotion behind it.
Right. Exactly.
And that's the level of oneness we can reach. like we tell people, supervisors and companies, we tell them when you're teaching a new job to somebody that you know really well, go teach yourself how to do something you've never done before, because it'll help you understand, like try to write with your opposite hand or something, because it'll help you understand why somebody might be having trouble. They get it, but they can't do it. They need to practice.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why practice is important.
Yes.
Oh, most definitely. And there's an interesting thing about pain too, because years ago, my cousin came to me with a pain, and as we were discussing it, she said, but I don't have any pain anymore because I divorced him. I'm just saying.
Oh, brother.
Well, so she was experiencing an internal pain.
That was a pain.
So the other thing in that first paragraph, I just think I'm going to invite Bill to expand upon a little bit, are those four omnis: omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience, and omniactivity.
Yeah, most people operate out of the three of them. They've all heard of the first three omnis, the omnipresence, omnipotence, and omniscience.
We might want to define those real quickly for people who may not be comfortable with those words.
Omnipresence means everywhere present.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Omnipotence means all powerful. Omniscience means all intelligent, or super intelligent, if you will. And then, of course, omniactivity means everywhere
present
at once, just being, it just is.
So I'm just curious, why did you choose activity and you didn't choose omni-action? Or are they similar to you?
Well, for us, they were.
Well, it's active. Like we changed omnipresent to omnipresence, omnipotent to omnipotence.
Yeah.
And and I'm saying we, because we've used these words in our work as well. And we wanted them to be active rather than, like, omnipotent sounds like a person, describing a person. But omnipotence is the essence. Activity is the essence versus action.
Great. So these with the CE ending talk about an essence. So while each of us is powerful, mm-hmm. it's because we are omnipotence. It's not something we have, it's something we are.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
It's something we are. Too. And that's what you see. And so now you've added another dimension of, and this is why it's such an exquisite description of oneness. Oneness has as aspects of it omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience, and omniactivity, which to me means acts everywhere. Is mm-hmm. that what it means to you?
Everywhere. Mm-hmm. For sure. And when we say everywhere, we really mean everywhere, and I'll tell you why. This particular segment is called the undiscovered.
Yeah.
Consciousness.
Undiscovered consciousness. Most people don't know, our quantum physicist friends are beginning to tell us now, that the entire universe is what they call, the term they use is holozoic, H-Y-L-O-Z-O-I-C, and holozoic means all matter has life and is conscious matter. So you talk about undiscovered consciousness, we haven't discovered that consciousness yet. Now, whether it's self-referent consciousness, that's another story. If it's insentient, it may not be self-referent conscious. All sentient beings have self-reference, but we're not, you know, we're just now beginning to understand what consciousness is. And so we're going to find out that all things, to some degree, have self-referent consciousness.
I think Charles believed that.
Oh, cool.
Which is very interesting. So will you give that name again and spell it again for our listeners?
It's called Hylozoic, and it's H-Y-L-O-Z-O-I-C. Google it and you'll learn more about it. But essentially what it means is that all matter has life and is conscious matter.
Fantastic. And so we didn't really dig into the second paragraph, but I think that could be summarized that because of this oneness and its aspects, nothing is ever received or sent. Everything is instantaneous.
Yeah.
Across the oneness. And if you go back and read this, you'll see that that's what Bill is referring to. And I think that is just fantastic. Okay, so unless you guys have something else, it's time to pivot to the absolute word. So here we go.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And so the absolute word is based on Sunday messages appearing in the Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. This one comes from Sunday, January 27th, 2019. The words are seize the moment, and the affirmation is, I seize the moment, seeing only the good. I see the moment, seeing only the good. In her book, Lessons in Truth, H. Emily Cady affirms, I am a child or manifestation of God, and every moment divine life, love, wisdom, power flow into and through me. And this is adapted from her book, Lessons in Truth. God's child, quote unquote, is the divine idea that contains divine life, love, wisdom, power, and so much more. I inspire myself to think of problems as possibilities to manifest good. The statement, quote, wherever I am, God is, unquote, becomes a vibrant reality. I claim my divinity. I am divine life, love, wisdom, power, and more. I realize I assign meaning in every situation. I seize each and every moment using divine life, love, wisdom, and power to assign the good no matter what. I manifest good. And the affirmation, I seize the moment seeing only the good.
Yeah, powerful affirmations. Wow.
Yes, very powerful.
Thank you. And of course, we so appreciate our listeners. Thank you for listening. We do this for you. And we hope that you take away one nugget every time we're on the program. And of course, I'm grateful to both Bill and Cher for their contributions, their wisdom, their humor. So thanks, guys.
Thank you. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Our pleasure.
Bye now.